Every Christmas, we might make that trek up to the attic, bringing down two or three boxes of decorations. And as we are unpacking them, we might find ourselves pulling out different ornaments and putting them on the tree. And in the midst of that process, we might start telling stories about each one, how some of them we picked up while we were traveling, a memento of a family vacation. Or perhaps some of them were gifts from friends and loved ones over the years, and on the back we smallly wrote their names somewhere. But perhaps the ones that find themselves on the most prominent positions on the tree were made with the smallest hands, out of things as simple as popsicle sticks. That if you went into any resource closet of any children's ministry, the odds are good you'll find a big box of popsicle sticks. That we can use those to make anything from a small rendition of the temple in Jerusalem to a complete panorama of the 12 disciples. That I went home from Sunday school as a child with as many crafts made out of popsicle sticks as I did verses of scripture to memorize. And it's hard to forget that excitement that rises up inside of you when you're out in the front yard playing on a hot summer day, and off in the distance, you hear the music of the ice cream truck, which we actually heard yesterday in our neighborhood. That all of a sudden you run inside as fast as you can to grab a handful of change, and then the ice cream truck pulls up on the curb and you've got to make a very difficult choice. There's all those pictures on the side of the truck. There's the classic ice cream sandwich and the popular Magnum bar, the Screwball and the Big Dipper, the Vanilla Crunch. But then, up in the top left corner is the original popsicle stick. It's the one with two popsicle sticks, so that you can break one half off and share it with a friend. It's such a beautiful picture of gratitude, where the meaning of the gift determines its value, where we are saying to someone else, "I am so glad you are my friend." And the book of Deuteronomy presents us with a choice of gratitude right there at the very end, where it says, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants might live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him." That it presents us with this divergent choice. And the entire book of Deuteronomy is like a book report. That it looks back on the first four books of Scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and it highlights, recapping everything important, that nothing new happens in the book of Deuteronomy. It's a summary of everything that's happened. And it focuses us on that moment where the people are about to leave the wilderness behind. And Moses is not going with them. So Deuteronomy is supposed to be Moses' words given to the people to take with them as they go forth. That the book of Deuteronomy, its title in Hebrew, comes from the opening line of the book. These are the words. They are meant to be the words that the people hold on to, reminding them from which they came. It's like our favorite grandparent telling us all through those years when we're growing up, if you're ever unsure about what to do, just remember who you are. That the people are called to the ways of God because of who they are. They're called to choose what is good, saying you will be blessed. Not to choose what isn't good, you will be cursed. But they do learn that even though we choose what is good, everything does not turn out always as we hope. That if we live long enough, we learn that we choose the ways of God not because we will prosper, but because we are grateful. That the people were grateful to have been brought out of Egypt and into freedom. And Moses leaves these words with them so that they can see the grace of God that continues to go forth with them. And so they will open their hands and share it with others. Booker T. Washington, that grand educator and author, used to love to tell the story about a ship captain steering a vessel through the South Atlantic Ocean just north of Brazil, where he found himself in a moment of crisis. That they were about to run out of drinking water. Surrounded there, stranded in the middle of the ocean where there is nothing but salt water, they did not know what to do until they saw another vessel on the horizon. So he quickly signals in SOS, "Help! Save us, or we will perish from lack of water." Well, the other ship receives the message and signals in return, "Cast down your buckets right where you are." Well, they were confused. They're there in the middle of the ocean. So the captain of the first ship assumes they misunderstood the SOS. So they signal again, "Help, save us, or we will perish from lack of water." But again, the second ship signals in return, "Cast down your buckets." So desperate, unsure about what else to do, the captain of the ship orders the crew to throw their buckets over the side. And once they pull them back up, they were surprised to discover fresh, sparkling water. That the captain did not know that the Amazon River forces fresh water out into the South Atlantic Ocean for miles. That we discover gratitude by casting down our buckets right where we are and discovering the presence of God around us. It might just be the people that share their lives with us, sharing a word of encouragement or wisdom in a moment where we needed clarity the most, or sharing with us their presence on a day where we felt all alone, or sharing with us the steadfast love of forgiveness, giving us a needed second chance. That we find God's grace and goodness all around us in things that are as simple as popsicle sticks. And one way that we choose gratitude is by choosing stewardship, which I know sounds odd, because it is so easy for gratitude to be amputated from stewardship. Just the sound of the word stewardship sounds more like duty or obligation. that in its broadest sense, though, stewardship is everything that we do with our lives. It is the gift of each day, finding God's grace and goodness around us. And it's everything we say and do with it. That so often we talk about stewardship, tying it to the church budget. But if we are not careful, we can easily substitute duty for gratitude. That perhaps it is helpful to think about stewardship away from the church budget, where we rediscover the meaning behind the gift. Now, it is difficult to talk about stewardship because we fear, or I fear, that it sounds ungrateful for the gifts already given, which is the exact opposite of a grateful perception of stewardship. Or we might fear, or I fear, that it will provide unwelcome pressure, which sounds more like duty or obligation. The hope is that we talk about stewardship, all that we do with our lives, in order to rediscover the joy of giving the first portion of what we have received out of gratitude for the grace of God, which can surprise us around each and every corner of life. That we rediscover the meaning behind the gift and its true value in our lives, no matter what its value is. As 1 Corinthians reminds us, we are God's servants working together. That we are God's field. We are God's building. Robert Emmons has several pieces of advice when it comes to choosing gratitude. He says, first, begin before you are ready. That we begin by simply casting down our buckets and finding around us God's presence. And second, look for good examples of grateful people. That perhaps we learn the most from those that have gone before us. And I have learned so much from those who have gone before us in this place. And lastly, we think not only with our heads, but also with our hearts. That we choose stewardship as a way of choosing gratitude because God has a way of showing up in joint efforts where we come together to be together and to live out our faith together. And I am so thankful for all the many ways in which this place comes together to participate in the work of the grace of God throughout our lives and throughout this world. Amen.